As I'm sure many of you are aware, this last week, a dear member of our congregation, Gordy Myers, went to be with the Lord. And we just want to remind you to be praying for the family, but we also wanted to let you know of when the service plans are, and that's this upcoming Saturday. There will be a time of visitation at 10 a.m., and then 11 a.m. will be the service of recognizing Gordy, his life, and celebrating his life and honoring him. So we would encourage you to try to be here for that. But more than that, just to be encouraging to the family and helping meet the needs of the family during this time, we'd so appreciate. The last number of weeks now, I think this is maybe week four, we've been working through the Beatitudes. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'll have you turn to Matthew chapter 5. This morning we're going to be looking at verse 5 in particular. If you're using one of the church Bibles, underneath the chair in front of you will be page 683. 683, Matthew chapter 5. You'll remember, and I'm not going to go into all the details about it. If you've missed the first three messages, then you can go online and listen to them and you can hear this. But the word blessed, remember the meaning that we're using for that word for this series is that you have and can experience God's approval. That's what it means to be blessed, is that you have and can experience God's approval. So as we look at Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed, or pardon me, if we can go ahead and put Matthew chapter 5, I'm sorry. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So using our particular meaning that we've given, definition that we've given to blessed, it might read something like, having and experiencing God's approval are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. It has certainly been said many, many, many times that when it comes to Scripture and looking at verses, and especially I think when you're just pulling like one verse out and kind of picking it apart, context really matters to what's taking place. One commentator said that he made this statement. He said there are three rules to good biblical interpretation. Context, context, and context. Three rules. So I think that context does matter a lot. And I think especially in today's message that we're looking at, we're going to take a little bit and talk about the context, especially of this one word called meek. Right? Context means that we not only understand what a passage means on its own, but we also understand how it relates to the passages, the verses that are around it, the book that it happens to be in the Bible, and then in the overall scriptures as a whole. So that being said, there's kind of two points of context that I want us to start by looking at this morning before we really get into this beatitude that we're going to look at more in depth. So the first point of context is this. This is the third beatitude which is listed in Matthew's gospel. So we're going to start by looking at the verses that we've already looked at before it. So this is the third one. So we've looked at, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we've seen so far is that the meanings of these beatitudes have often been understood because people have only looked at the surface, and they haven't really dug, pardon me, they've been misunderstood because people only look at the surface and they haven't really dug any deeper into what they're actually saying. What we noted when we started this message series, that poorness is not speaking of economic poorness, but rather a spiritual bankruptcy. This is a person who understands their plight before the Almighty God. They understand their own sin and immortality. And the fact that they are lacking of righteousness when they face the King of the universe. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. And we talked about that. And then we noted that the one who mourns is not simply one who experiences sorrow, The blessed mourner is the one whose heart is broken over their own sinful lives, the sins of others, and the perception of those who suffer in the name, or the persecution of those who suffer in the name of Jesus Christ. What I want us to see is that there is a progression in the Beatitudes. Poorness in spirit is understanding one's own lack of personal righteousness, which is the beginning of our understanding of a need for salvation. And then mourning is the natural sequence of recognizing our sin and its consequences, which also accompanies the beginning of our understanding of a need for Christ. It would seem natural then that meekness, which is the subject of today's beatitude, would kind of follow that same progression. As we study today, we will see how spiritual meekness fits into the natural response to the gospel of Christ, I hope. So the second point of context I wanted to point out, context is also how a passage fits into the overall text of Scripture, right? So not just that verse, but how does that fit into the whole Word of God? We'd be remiss if we didn't recognize that this beatitude is very similar to a promise which is found in the Old Testament. So go ahead and turn to, in the Old Testament, to the book of Psalm 37. And if you can go ahead and just back up two slides to the passage for today, for a minute. Yep, perfect, thank you. So Psalm 37, verse 11. So our verse today is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And then we go back into the Old Testament, Psalm 37, verse 11, and it says, but the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Like to me, as I look at this, it seems possible that Christ, in this beatitude, is almost going back to this promise which was made to Israel in the Psalms. So I want us just to take a quick look at the Psalms and the meaning of this verse in its passage. So starting at verse 1 in Psalm chapter 37, page 398, it says, do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. And then after verse 11, the Psalms begin to address the ways of the wicked and how God laughs at their plots. But what I want us to see in this passage is how it gives some definition to what it means to be meek. If you follow the progression of these verses that we just read, these first 11 verses, you see the following descriptions emerge. Things like trust, delight, commitment, stillness, patience, refraining from anger, it says. All of these then kind of come together in a reference to meekness. But the reality is that all of these are, in a sense, a part of what makes the meaning of meekness before God. Meekness is trust in God and not in self. Meekness is delight in God and not in my own accomplishments. Meekness is commitment to God and not to worldly pursuits. Meekness is stillness and patience before God and not an attempt to take over God's plan. Meekness is refraining from anger even in the midst of difficulty. In essence, this passage is painting for us a picture of what Jesus means when he says, "Blessed are the meek." So by examining this passage, we see how the context helps us in being able to interpret it properly, I think, and not be taken away by our cultural misunderstandings of the word meekness. I think it's fair to say that this beatitude has probably been very misunderstood. So there's two areas in regards to this passage, our passage for today, blessed are the meek. There's two areas that I want us to look at and just make sure we have like zero confusion about them as we talk about this beatitude. The first one is meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. I think, unfortunately, our world has attached a very negative condemnation to the word meek. Meekness has become kind of equal to lack of guts. Right? Webster's dictionary has multiple definitions for meek, and just a couple of them are submissive, spineless, spiritless. Right? And that's what we as a culture kind of think of when we hear the word meek. But one thing we must understand as we look at and interpret this verse is that meekness does not equal weakness. They are not the same thing. In our day, words like meekness and love and humility are often equated with like this lack of a backbone. The misinterpretation of the word meekness is one of the reasons why we have this tendency to look away from this beatitude. It's from Jesus' command, we'll even say. We know the cowardly and the weak are not respected and often are bullied and humiliated, right? And they feel this will kind of rob them of their strength. As a result, when we hear this call to meekness, there's kind of this natural tendency that we turn our ear away from it. That we just kind of want to ignore that one. Rather than owning it and trying to understand it. Meekness is not weakness. Even though that is how the world has interpreted it, it's not. In fact, I'm going to propose that it's quite the opposite, which we'll see as we kind of come to the end of the message today. I'm going to give you an example of an Old Testament figure that was meek, was called meek in Scripture, but his actions would not line up with weakness in any figment of the imagination. We see in the New Testament the same thing. Like the apostles, right? They were meek men. But they were far from being weak men. They confronted, when they were confronted by the Jews after the resurrection of Christ, they refused to be silenced in regard to their faith. They stood boldly and proclaimed that given the choice, that they must obey God rather than man. That's not weakness. This one might, this beatitude, it might actually be harder for us as guys a little bit. This idea of being meek, because we've equated it with weakness. But it's not, it's the dependency upon God. And it's the source, really, of true strength. So first of all, meekness is not weakness. Secondly, meekness is not compromise. And this kind of goes, it goes along with the first point, but is a little bit more focused, perhaps. I think a great lie that has kind of infiltrated the church and probably needs to be exposed is this. The lie is that the command to meekness demands that we accept any and all behavior and teaching within the church. Right? Because we just let it happen. We're being meek. They want to do that, that's okay. Anyone who is seen standing for truth, God's truth, his absolute truth, and drawing a line in the sand because of their understanding of God's truth, man, that person is being what? He's being hard-hearted and ego-driven. Just think about like how internet's exploded, so we can stream anything anytime we want, right? So we can either turn the TV on or we can stream on our computers, and we can see these preachers where sin is like just not a big deal. Like if somebody does this or that, that even though scripture says, well, it's okay because we can rewrite this a little bit, or we can take it out of its context. And that's not okay. Meekness doesn't allow us to rewrite things. The preacher of sin is portrayed kind of in the media today as like being elevated. The pastor that stands up and tells people that hell doesn't exist. And this happens. The Bible illiterate preacher who tells people that God is most concerned with their health, their happiness, right? And your success in life. Those kind of preachers in our culture today are kind of elevated. And because they are embracing of all things, they're considered kind of meek by the masses. Whereas a preacher that draws a line is not considered meek, but arrogant and filled with pride, or even hateful if he says something that somebody doesn't want to hear. Today, I think that, unfortunately, I think that those that lead within churches and are willing to compromise on biblical truths are the ones that are praised and raised up and held high. Yet in reality, they're the most prideful of them all because they have rejected the truths of Scripture for their own philosophies. Meekness is not compromise. I would argue that the people who have demonstrated the most profound meekness are the ones who have stood the most boldly for the gospel. People like Billy Graham or Rick Warren or Francis Chan, right? We know all these names. Anyone who, without hesitation, proclaims the realities of sin and the need for salvation and their dependency upon God, those people are bold. But they're also meek because they're living under God. These people refuse to compromise the truth of the word. And yet their hearts are captive to the word of God. That's true meekness. It is not weakness or compromise, but a complete and utter dependency upon God. Scripture says a lot about meekness and our call to demonstrate this important virtue. In all the Bible, there's one man, and I said I would talk about this at the end. There's one man who is called the meekest of them all. And in reality, it's not the man that most people think automatically of when it comes to meekness, right? This is a man who killed a man for abusing his brethren. This is a man who demanded that Pharaoh let God's people go. This is a man who destroyed the Ten Commandments when he saw idolatry of the people. This is a man who melted down the golden calf and mixed the ashes with water and made the people drink it for punishment. Right? Pretty meek guy, right? This is a man who put men to the sword and saw men stoned for their transgressions against the law of God. He's definitely not what the modern world would call meek. But listen to what Scripture says about him in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. It says, "Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth." Moses, the meekest of them all, melting down the golden idols and taking the ashes, mixing it with water and making them drink it as punishment. He wasn't just called meek, he was called the meekest of his whole generation. The meekest of all on the face of the earth. This warrior, this leader, this prophet and priest was called the meekest of all. I think this alone proves us the point today that meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not compromise. Moses did not compromise his beliefs. Meekness is complete and utter dependency upon God. Moses trusted God completely, 100%. And it was the source of his strength. When we humble ourselves before God and are meek before him, he will strengthen us to do great things in his name. And we will indeed be the inheritors of the earth. To the Jews, this implied, this idea of inheriting the earth, this implied the promised land. Jesus used the word earth to refer to the future inheritance of the kingdom. When we humble ourselves before God and are meek before him, he will strengthen us to do great things, and we will inherit the earth. I want us to go ahead and read that verse together. So if we can put it back on the screen again, Matthew 5, 5. Would you read it with me, please? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. How are we doing at being completely under the control of God, the desires of God? That's when we are living a life that is meek. And that's what we're called to do. Let's pray together. Lord God, our culture certainly has different understandings of different words than what your scriptures do. So we thank you that we can figure out the context of your word and have a better understanding of what is being said to us. Help us, Lord God, with this particular one, because meekness kind of has this bad idea that comes along with it for us in our culture today. So help us understand that it does not mean weakness. It doesn't mean that we have to compromise on things. But it means that we live under your control, under your desires. That we give ourselves completely and wholly to living for you. Help us to be meek people with that in mind. The decisions that we make, help them to be glorifying and honoring to you above everything else. We pray this in your name. Amen.